Father, would you bless my brother this morning? Would you bless him with a fresh mind, with a sharp recollection of what he's prepared? Would his heart and his spirit feel very well tuned with yours? Give us ears to hear. May the word be a word for the moment that meets us right where we are. And we thank you, Father, that it's already coming within a flow of worship and prayer this morning, where you are clearly with us, clearly sharing. And so we keep our attention wide open to receive more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Am I loud enough? Amen. How many of you are happy this morning? Amen. Can we wave our hands and give Lord a big mighty hand of praise this morning? What a beautiful God we serve. Death could not hold him. The grave couldn't contain him in the small four walls. He is a powerful Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I think I don't want to introduce myself. Jason F. did a good job. So this morning, I would like to preach on the topic, Don't Lose Your Kingdom Lifestyle, with the tagline, The Way, the Truth, and the Life. And while I was preparing this sermon, I felt God is leading me to look at this Gospel of John through a different lens of looking at a way of a kingdom lifestyle. And not just understanding the way it is, but embracing the way we are called to live. I began to see the central message of this gospel is not only the invitation to believe in Jesus as an eternal life, but also an invitation to abide in him so that his life becomes our way of living. A kingdom lifestyle is not standing at a distance and admiring the king. It is about surrendering our lives to the King and allowing his life to be expressed through us. And this is why John writes about Jesus not only as the one who gives the eternal life, but also the one who becomes our only way, our truth, and our life. The question before today is not simply, do I know about Jesus? But has the life of Jesus become my way of living? Let's talk about a kingdom lifestyle for a bit. A kingdom lifestyle is a life lived in the way of Jesus, grounded in his truth, empowered by his abundant life. It is the body of Christ embodying his character, continuing his mission, and revealing God's kingdom through both word and deed. Apostle John wrote 5 books, and each book has its unique purpose. And John, the Gospel of John is unique among the 4 Gospels because it is not does not simply present Jesus as the Messiah who came to establish God's kingdom. It reveals who Jesus is at the deepest level, the eternal Son of God who brings people into a new life with God. John focuses less on the events that happened in Jesus' life and more on the identity, mission, and transforming relationship with the King. When we closely look at the I Am statements that have been going through for a couple of weeks, for almost 7 weeks now, one truth becomes very clear and evident. Jesus was not just revealing who he is. But when we read from John chapter 13 from 17, John clearly shows that he is also preparing his disciples for his departure. And so he's also commissioning them to continue his mission. He was teaching them the core truth of his identity, the purpose of his coming, and why the world needs to know him and follow him. Basically, he is doing handing over responsibility session with some knowledge transfer in it to his disciples. But this morning, I believe that Jesus is giving the same mandate to the Harvest City Church that we have to go into the world and reveal the way, the truth, and the life that is found only in Him. Can we shout a big amen? Amen. And as we're going to spend the next 20 minutes listening to God's word, my prayer is not simply you would hear a message and just walk out, but would encounter a gentle voice of the Father speaking to our hearts. From John 14 chapter 1 to 14 is one of the most emotional moments in disciples' life. A lot of panic happening there, a lot of questions happening there, a lot of back and forth with Jesus. And Jesus knows that His crucifixion is near. His disciples are filled with fear, confusion, and uncertainty. And so Jesus begins the chapter, John 14, by comforting them, say, do not let your hearts be troubled. And He assures them that He is preparing a place for them. And that, and makes one of the profound statement there, you know the way. Now the problem with Thomas is he is thinking of a physical destination there. And he gets back with another question, how can we know the way? But Jesus responds with one of the greatest declarations in scriptures. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The chapter does not just talks about Jesus leaving. It also prepares His disciples to live out the kingdom mission. Church, John 14 is a chapter about relationship. It's about identity. It's about mission. It's about kingdom living. Jesus is preparing His disciples for a greater calling, greater things to happen through them. He is teaching them that the kingdom is not built by knowing the route, but it is far greater than that. And I would like to give three quick points today. And this morning, and the Spirit of God would reignite within us the very purpose of which we are created for. We are not merely called to attend the church and receive His blessing. We are saved to participate in the kingdom mission. Every one of you are here who have gathered here is called, is commissioned. And you have a greater call and a purpose in your life. And your life is much more meaningful than the neighbors that you see, than your husband. God has a purpose in your life. And that's why He is wonderful. And that's why we sing even in the midst of the storm. Three points I wanted to talk about today is the kingdom way. Jesus navigates our path. The kingdom truth is my second point. Jesus defines our identity. And finally, the kingdom life. Jesus establishes our mission. When Jesus calls us into His kingdom, He does not simply give us new information. He gives us completely a new way of living. The kingdom way shows us Jesus navigates our path. He turns us away from our old path and leads us to walk according to God's purpose. But a changed path is only the beginning, because when we follow His way, Jesus begins to reveal who we are truly in Him. And that leads to the kingdom truth, where Jesus defines our identity. We are no longer defined by our past. We are no longer defined by the worldly labels that the world gives. But we are navigated, and God is defining our identity. And this would naturally lead to the kingdom life, where Jesus establishes our mission. We no longer live for ourselves, but we become people who carry His love, reflect His character, and participate in His work in the world. So let's begin by looking how Jesus navigates our path through the kingdom way. This morning it is important for us to understand that there are many ways the world offers. People are constantly searching for different paths to success, happiness, security, and purpose. Even the disciples in this passage were thinking about a physical way, a route to a destination. But Jesus was speaking something far greater. He is not talking about the earthly path. He was not talking about a map, but he was revealing that he is the only way that leads us to the eternal life, and that restores our relationship with the Father. In verse 4, we see that Jesus talks to his disciples and say, you know the way, you know the place where I am going. Notice that Jesus did not say that, I will show you the way. He did not say that you know the way. But this is one of the powerful statements. He said, I'm not going to give the map, but you already know the way. And Jesus tells to his disciples that you already possessed what you need. In other words, the disciples did not lack any information. They lacked understanding. They had already spent a lot of time with Jesus. They walked with him, listened to his teaching, witnessed his miracles, and experienced his presence. And they know what Jesus is all about. And the way was not a set of instructions the disciples need to discover. The way was the person who was standing right in front of him. The disciples failed to understand that. Now, immediately, as usual, like us, there is a question and answer session started with the disciples. And the teacher, now the questions are thrown out and the teacher is trying to answer. And now Thomas raises a question. He says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Do you think it's a right question? Yes or no? Oh, I think you are all like Jesus' way of thinking. I am not like that. I don't blame Thomas because he is kind of a logical person like me. Thomas is thinking literally and asking, I don't know the destination. How can I now know the route? Give me the map. But here is the amazing truth. Thomas was looking at the answer while asking for the answer. The way was standing right in front of him. He was searching for a path, but Jesus was revealing a person. Many times we do the same thing. We bring our questions to the one who is the only answer. In other words, we know that he is the answer, but yet still we would go around and do all sort of research and find, and then finally we fail and then come to God. Oh, okay, now I realize he is the answer. One of the biggest struggles we face in our life or in our walk with God is what I call the steering wheel syndrome. I don't know how many of you heard this. This is my terminology. I call this as the steering wheel syndrome. The steering wheel syndrome is a human struggle to trust God as a guide while still wanting to remain as a driver. It is when we seek God's presence for support but resist his authority over our direction. In simple words, the steering wheel syndrome is when we ask Jesus to guide our life, but we still want to hold the steering. We never want to let go of the steering. We trust God's destination, but do not trust his direction. We believe God knows where we need to go, but we struggle when he chooses a different road than the one we planned. This morning, the kingdom way calls us to a different posture. Jesus is not asking us simply to invite him into our plans. He is asking us to surrender our plans and follow his. He is not looking to be our assistant who is helping us to accomplish our dreams. But he is the Lord who leads us into the purpose in his way of living. Amen. Sometimes God takes us through the roads we never choose. He may slow us down when we want to rush. He closes the door where we wanted to enter. He closes the door sometimes where we think that's the road, that door is the best for me. The question is, do the road looks like my plan, or am I trusting the one who knows the way? Sometimes we don't have a problem with Jesus being our Savior. We have a problem with Jesus being our driver. We think it is not, but our actions does. Imagine driving on an early road, early in the morning when there is a heavy fog on the road. You cannot see the entire road ahead. You can only see a few meters from where you sit. If you stop because you don't see the road in front, you cannot complete the whole journey. You never reach your destination. But if you trust the road signs and keep moving step by step, slow and slow, you will arrive safely. Many times we want God to remove the fog and show us the entire future. We want every details before we obey. But Jesus does not reveal the whole journey. He reveals himself as the way, which is the most powerful weapon that we carry. Which is the most powerful thing that we carry. When we walk with him, we may not see everything ahead, but we know that we are led by the one who sees everything. Don't let what you cannot see stop you from obeying what God has already told you. If Jesus says, follow me, then follow him. If Jesus asks you to take a next step, then take a next step. If Jesus says, trust me, trust him. I am here in Canada and in the coldest province in Saskatchewan just because I trusted him. If I would have trusted the stats, the map, and the climatic condition, then I'm not here. And Jesus is the way. Even when the road is uncertain, your future is secure. Sometimes trusting God comes with a little bit of work. Sometimes you have to shovel. Sometimes you have to clean your car. So a lot of things, but it's worth trusting him. Amen. It's worth trusting him. When God called Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. God did not give Abraham a complete map. He gave him a promise and asked him to trust the one who was leading him. Abraham's faith was not built on every detail of the journey, but it was built on knowing the God who has called him. The same is true for us. God may not reveal every step, but he promises his presence is along the way. And King David understood the secret. And that's why he says in Psalms 24:1, he says, even though I walk through the valleys, even the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil because I have a God who is powerful, supernatural, walking along with me, being with me, and his rod and staff will comfort me. And that's the confidence that I have in God this morning. And that's why I trust him. And that's why I believe him. Maybe you are standing in a season where you do not understand the direction where God is taking you. Maybe your plans have changed. Your prayers seem unanswered. Or the road ahead looks uncertain. Remember the disciples in John 14. The disciples were confused, not knowing their future. Because he was a leader with them for 3.5 years. Now they were afraid. But they did not understand that Jesus was not abandoning them. But he was leading them into something greater. The same God is prophesying over your life today, the Harvest City Church. Your situation today, the path that you are in may not look like something so appealing or the way you want it. But you are in a way something greater, something extraordinary. Because that is not small, not less, but something great, something supernatural, something extraordinary. Because we carry a God who is so bigger than the world say small, and we are more than a conqueror through him. Let's release the steering wheel Take your hand from the steering wheel. Surrender your plans, your timelines, your expectations to Him. The kingdom way is not the road you and I discover. It is the person we follow. And when Jesus navigates our path, He leads us from confusion into purpose, from fear into faith, and from our plans into God's perfect will. Can we shout a big amen? Amen. Secondly, the kingdom truth. Jesus defines our identity. Church, after Jesus navigates a path through the kingdom way, He does something even deeper. He defines our identity through the kingdom truth. One of the greatest truths that every believer must understand is this. When we come to Christ, we do not simply receive a new relationship. We receive a new identity as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, if anyone in Christ is Christ, that is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. The identity to change is not something magical or automatic. It is the truth of the living God working in us and allowing His word and His presence to penetrate deep into our heart. This happens when the truth of God is moving from your head to your heart. And that begins to shape the way we think, the way we speak, the way we live. The truth of knowing God plays a pivotal role in transforming our identity. I often say this, knowing about Jesus is different from knowing Jesus. Many people know information about Christ. They know Bible stories. They know Christian songs. They know church language. And they know what Jesus has done on the cross. But the kingdom truth is not only just knowing about the facts of Jesus, but it is knowing Him personally and allowing Him, allowing His truth to transform us. And that's why John chapter 14 verse 7, Jesus says to Thomas, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. You do now know him and have seen him. And now again, one more guy, Philip. Philip now asks the question, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. When I read this, it gave me a lot of confidence because it's not only Thomas, it's also Philip. So the majority keeps increasing, and they are like me. And I'm not very different from him too. I thought, Lord, how many times that I have asked several questions. I know the answer, but still ask, frame the questions in a way that God, I try to tweak God and try to get the answer that I wanted. And such kind of question I ask many times, but after I realized later that it's not about that. I asked 10 different questions with having the same intent, but he has only one answer because he is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And Jesus answers, this is in verse 9 and with a different tone a bit now. I think he lost the patience. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, have you heard such kind of things from your God? Is it speaking to you? No? Okay. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the work themselves. Now Jesus is challenging them with a deeper question. Do you truly know me? Yes, we accepted Jesus as a Savior. Yes, we are worshiping Him every Sunday after Sunday and for many years. And we have seen His faithfulness in our lives. But the question today is, do we really know Him? And this question I have to echo in your life every day morning. And I make sure, I ask this question many times. Betson, you know about Jesus, or you know what His heart longs for? It is not knowing about the facts. Is that facts coming into reality in your life? If I truly know Him, His truth should transform us the way we live, the way we respond to our challenges, the way we treat people, the way we handle disappointments, the way we make decisions. All these should reflect that we know who our God is. And that's when we can sing song in the storm. The real identity change is not about Betson trying harder or improving myself or achieving something to receive an identity. The real identity change happens when I know who Christ is and embrace what He has done. When I embrace the gospel, I realize that I'm not an ordinary, because I carry someone extraordinary. I carry the presence of God. I carry the Spirit of the living God who can transform my life. I carry the purpose that is greater than myself. I do not carry the poverty mindset, because I carry the Jesus standard within me. I like this word, Jesus standard. I love this phrase, and I feel it's damn good, the Jesus standard. Anyone heard this? The Jesus standard is a life defined by the truth, wisdom, character, and the presence of God. It tells me who I am and reminds me my true identity. The Jesus standard says, I am not defined by my past, but I am defined by the work that Jesus done on the cross. I am not controlled by my fear, but it says, I am guided by God's truth. The Jesus standard would say, I am not without the purpose, but I have a greater calling in the kingdom. It would say, I am not limited by the weakness. I am strengthened by His Spirit. The Jesus standard calls us for greater purpose, greater living, greater breakthroughs to Christ Jesus. Can we give the Lord a big hand of praise? I carry the Jesus standard with me. You and I are not called for something ordinary. Come here, sit and warm up these chairs. But we are called to do extraordinary, because you and I carry the Jesus standard. I am passionate, and I want to be this passionate when I am maybe not oldest, when I'm like Dave. And that's my prayer. I pray every day. Bethany, you're not losing your passion while you're not engaged, but you carry this passion till your deathbed. And I ask, give me thousands, give me lakhs, Lord. I want to train them. I want to mentor them. I want to give the boost in their back and fire so that they run for God. And I want the Harvest City Church to run around the city of Regina. And this is not from my script. This is the Spirit of God talking to me now. You and I are called for greater purpose. Now Jesus says in verse 16 and 17, I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth. The second essence that Jesus is revealing to the disciples. It's not just the truth. The truth comes from the Spirit of God. This is the Jesus standard. Jesus standard is not just an ordinary person. He carries the Spirit of God. And this is the kingdom truth that defines our identity. Many people in this world do not know Him because they have not seen Him. But you and I know Him because He is living inside of us. He walks with us. He strengthens us. He comforts us. He carries us through our weakness, our struggles. The Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit, is not just the belief you and I carry. He is the presence of God who is living within us. And if we know this truth, we are not just a normal person or just a portrait hanging on the wall, but we are a unique masterpiece in God's creation. Can we shout a big amen, church? Can we wave our hands and praise God? Can we wave our hands and say and shout a big hallelujah? Can we thank God for the supernatural thing that God has given? Can we thank God for the Holy Spirit? Don't stop. Can we wave our hands? Even if it's a little uncomfortable, it's fine. Wave your hands and thank God. Praise God for the Spirit of God who is working in you. Thank God, the Spirit of God who is comforting you in your weakness, in your troubles, in your sufferings. Thank God. Praise God. I want to share a story here that deeply touched me. This was 10 years back. One of the pastors from United States came to India and gave a sermon. And he shared this story that happened in his church. And this was happened during one of the Christmas season. The pastor felt the burden to reach of the women who was trapped in prostitution. Women whose life has been marked by pain, brokenness, and rejection, but whose identity was lost and defined by the world. And when he shared this burden with the church leadership, the leadership looked like, what? And the pastor, and they said, Pastor, are you saying that we need to invite these prostitution who have involved in this to invite into our church? And the pastor slowly looked at all the faces and then responded, yes. Because the church should be a place where broken people find healing, where rejected people find acceptance, and where lost people encounter the love of Jesus. The team went out because they were on a task and mission now. They went out and found 10 women. They invited them to spend some time and told them that they would pay the wages that they get paid for whatever they do, for that 1 hour or 2 hours. The women agreed. They did not know what was waiting for them. They only knew they had been invited to a location and that they would be welcome there. The day arrived. The church prepared everything beautifully. The volunteers arranged the hall, prepared special programs, created an atmosphere of love and acceptance. But there was something unique. The church was not filled with the crowd. The only person who was sitting in the auditorium was those 10 women. The leaders spent time with them. They treated them like a VIP, which they would have not received from anyone. They reminded that their lives had value. They have created by God. And now the pastor stood up and shared the greatest message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He shared there was a God who sees them, loves them, and calls them on his own. And something powerful began to happen. The atmospheric shift started to change. They began to understand. Tears began to flow from their eyes. They started to say, I am not forgotten. I am not worthless. My past does not define me. Church, that day the women surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. But the story does not end there. The gospel did not only forgive their past. It transformed their future. But the truth of God also gave them a new identity. The same women who felt once rejected became accepted. Their identity was completely transformed. You know what? Those 10 women who accepted the Christ that day eventually became the leaders in their church and serving God. What a mighty God we serve. That's the identity transformation we are talking about. You become light in the darkness. You become salt to the world. The truth does not only rescue people from their past. It releases them into God-given purpose. And this leads to my final point, the kingdom life, Jesus establishing our mission. I want to ask the audience to pay my attention here, because this is something that God has put in my heart this morning to share. There is a mission in everyone's life. And who establishes that? It's Jesus himself. And who obeys that is you and me. And so now, John 14:12, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Jesus is not simply calling us to receive him. He is calling us to participate with him. Think about the kingdom life like a river. A river is alive because it doesn't just receive the water, it carries the water forward. If the water only comes out and if it never flows, it becomes stagnant. You know what stagnant is? Stagnant is, then it becomes like a pond. And if the pond having a stagnant water, eventually it becomes stinky. And if it becomes stinky, no one will come next to the pond. But the river says the kingdom life is like a river. It has to release, keep releasing. And when Jesus prays for the disciples in John chapter 17, 18, he says, as you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Who is Jesus talking about? He is speaking about his disciples. Jesus is commissioning them, sending them into the world to continue the mission the Father has entrusted to him. I love the verse 20. It says, Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. Whose message? The disciples. And the disciples going around and talk about Jesus, and whoever believes, and Jesus is praying for them. And this is a powerful moment, because Jesus was not praying for only the disciples who were standing just before him. He was also praying for the generations of people who would come to faith through their testimony, including us today. When Jesus prays for his disciples, he is not just doing a regular prayer. One of the instances I see that Jesus also does a commissioning prayer is this place. He is praying a prayer of mission, a prayer of commissioning them. Church, when Jesus says, as the Father send me, I'm sending you, he's inviting us into the continuation of his mission. One of the saddest reality in Christianity today is that many people are satisfied with receiving salvation, but never stepping into the mission of Christ. They come to church, they receive encouragement and get back to their lives and return again the following week to give the attendance to God, saying, God, I'm still here. I'm still part of the salvation membership. That's not the life that God is calling us today. Church, I want to leave this question to you. Sometimes our faith can become a routine than a relationship. Our Christianity can become like an activity rather than a lifestyle. Our faith can eventually become a religion, which is a dangerous situation. I think many times Anatoly mentioned that in his sermons. Religion is one of the thin line between the faith and that. Church, this morning, the one question I want to put forth to is, do we really know the heart of God and what his heart longs for? My God is looking for people who is willing to ask, Jesus, what is that your heart longs for? What do you want me to do? I strongly believe the faith and the belief system we have in God should lead us from the life to take up and release the very life that God has put in us. We recently traveled to this Banff, and I really enjoyed the drive from Banff towards the Jasper. And it was so awesome to see the beauty. The Rockies, I was driving through the Rockies, it was amazed. The mountains, the valleys, the trees, the lakes, everything seemed to carry life. I wasn't just enjoying the drive, but I was also captivated by how the creation of God. And after visiting some attractions there, we came back, turned around from Banff on the same road, towards Banff. But this time, something changed. The road was the same. It was still, the daylight was there. The mountains were still there. The Rockies hadn't moved. But there was a smoke. The smoke had covered the mountain so much, I could barely see what I really enjoyed a few hours back. I remember thinking to myself, how can the same road that was so beautiful a few hours ago now look completely different? And one thing struck me, and I realized it is not something dramatically changed. It is the smoke that was simply hiding the life inside it. And I felt at that time, God speaking to me, Betson, this is something that happens in the community of Christ, the body of Christ. Jesus has given us the abundant life. His life is within us. His joy, his love, his peace, his grace, his compassion, his character, all these things are meant to be visible through us, not to be kept inside of us. Outside and inside debate now. But just like the smoke covered the beauty of the Rockies, something comes and covers what Christ has placed inside of us. That smoke might be the business of life, your worldly commitments, unhealthy focus on career, success, money and possession, forgetting Jesus is the source of everything that we enjoy in this world. Sometimes it's simply the self-centeredness where life becomes all about me, my family, my life, my money, my plans, my comfort, my success, my future, my keep on saying that my factor in our life. But church, it might be challenging today for you to listen these words, but this is what God is expecting us to live in this world. Jesus didn't give us abundant life so that we could keep it to ourselves. He gave us life so that his life could flow through us to bring life to others. The kingdom life is not just simply receiving life from Jesus, releasing it. Church, one of the statements when I was preparing this that came to my mind is, church is not the destination of our mission. It is a place where we are equipped for our mission. Our mission begins when we walk out of the church. Can I request the worship team to come onto the stage, please? Jesus establishes our mission by sending us into the places. Our workplace is our mission field. Your neighborhood is your mission field. Your family is your mission field. Your grocery store can become your mission field. You don't have to stand behind the pulpit to show people just like me here. Sometimes the greatest sermon that you could ever preach is the way of life that you live in the world. I would like to take you through the very simple illustration. I don't know how many of your eyes are so good to see this little cute fish is swimming in here, but I would maybe if the media team can put it in this screen, would it be better? Or if you could do some arrangement, that would be appreciated. Sorry to spot it on now. And I love these fishes, and I love fishing. And I didn't go to fishing any time in Canada because I don't know how to handle the fishing rod. Because in India, the rod is not. It's just a stick and then put the string and get it. Okay. You know that type of old thing, but here I feel it's complicated. I need someone to teach. If anyone is good in teaching me, I would love to come with you. But anyways, this is a fish tank here. I see some fish swimming in the water. The fish enjoy themselves. They are so comfortable. They are not afraid of anything. The provider, about time to time, comes and gives food, and it eats well and swims again, does its routine. All good. Even if it poops, the master have to come and clean it. That's it. It is enjoying his life. And this is a picture of what our life in Christ sometimes looks like. We experience joy, peace, and freedom through Christ. Jesus, our master, Jehovah Jireh, provides everything we need. And I really want to praise God for all those things that God is doing in our life. But sometimes we become so comfortable enjoying the life Jesus has given us, forgetting the mission Jesus has given us. Look at here now. I'm going to take a few fishes out of here. Okay. I need to learn some tactics here. Okay. Got something here. Oh. Look at the fishes here. What is happening now? Have just removed from their comfortable zone. And now it's struggling. It's jumping all around. It needs oxygen. It needs something to breathe in. And it knows that it gets oxygen only in the water. This is the life of many people on the roads. Just like this fish now suffocates and asking for the breath, asking for the life back again. Asking for the breath, asking for the breath. Asking for his master to, could you please drop me in again and give me life? This is the same situation that people walking on the roads have. There are people walking on the streets, people in our workplace, perhaps even our neighbors who are going through the same kind of suffocation. They are struggling because, you can just play my keys a bit. They're struggling because they don't have the real oxygen, which is the Christ, the living water inside them. And I am least bothered. I'm not talking about any of you here. I'm talking about me. I'm preaching to myself now. I am least bothered. I wanted to live my life. I wanted to keep the life which God has given to me by myself. I don't want to get up from my chair. I want to come every Sunday, enjoy the presence of God, worship. But I'm perfectly okay with whatever happens outside. Church, they don't know what the real life is. People are trying to find that in alcohol, drugs, smoking, relationships, money, success. And some think suicide is the end so that they could get some sort of answer. They are looking for life. And we, the body of Christ, know where is the life found. I know sometime it is walking out of a comfortable zone. Church, we sit here today because someone brought Christ into our lives. Yes, it's true that we are saved by God's grace through Christ. But God also used someone's obedience to bring the message of Christ into our life. Someone showed us the way. Someone shared the truth with us. Someone was obedient to the voice of God. Someone was obedient to God's call. And because of their obedience, we are now experiencing the fullness of God. Church, don't forget someone prayed for us. I remember one time Dave sharing this in his one of his sermon. His Sunday school teacher prayed for him when he was small. Someone prayed for us. I want to ask to you, church, today, can you do the same for others? Are you willing to be that someone? Am I obeying God's call in my life? Am I ready and willing to show someone who is walking in the darkness and say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Now look what happens here. I'm going to take this fish. I'm going to take this fish out. It's a prophetical act. And if you want to be that someone today, you can pull this from my hand and you can give back life to this fish. Anyone from here, if you are the someone who wants to give life back to this fish and say, God, I am ready to be that someone to give this life to this world, to the people around, I'm challenging you. Here is now. Who is willing to come out and pull it from my hand? Give life. Give life. You and I should be a source of someone who can give life. I want to give chance to someone else more. Come on, who else want to give life to this fish? Who want to be another person? Someone. God sees the act. You both can do it together. Church, this is what the life body of Christ have to do. This is the body of Christ that are called to do. It is not something sitting here, but I'm sitting here and spurring him, saying, brother, you are called to do something greater. Brother, your life is something beautiful in the presence of God. You are called to do something greater. It's not a sermon, it's a prophecy for you, brother. Someone. I'm going to keep this altar open right now. It might be challenging. It might be convicting for some of us today. Maybe you have not heard this much strong message. I'm so sorry, Pastor Joel, for this, but I've been pushed to preach this for almost a month. And I'm so sorry for that if anyone got hurt, but this is the voice of God, and this is what Jesus did to the disciples, and this is what Jesus is asking the community of Christ, the body of Christ, to do the same, to reflect his nature, reflect his character, reflect his love through the world, so that his life becomes so much visible to the world and my life becomes so much meaningful. And the floor is open. If you want to be that someone saying, Lord, I surrender my life. You know what? When I was driving morning this to come to church, the statement God put it in my heart, surrendering ourselves to God is the best posture to say that I'm willing to show my life to others. And the surrendering can happen only in the presence of God. Can we close our eyes? And Jenny, as Jenny leads the song, if you're really led by the Spirit of God, and if you wanted to be that tool, God, I want to surrender my life again. I want to show the truth, the way, in a little bit of whatever I do. It might be a workplace. It might be with your neighbors. Being kind and being showing the nature of God. Yep. I'm going to open this floor. And if you feel that you're led by, can we all stand in the presence of God as we close? Thank you, Jesus.
Here I am.
And as she sings, you're willing to come forward. If you feel shy, you can still stand in your place. If you want to be that someone today and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm available. You might be already serving God, but you might feel a stagnancy in your life. You might be feel a dryness. But if you want to be that someone who gave you the life, and if you want to be the someone who want to give life to others, come forward. Come forward. This is a place you surrender. This is a place where the fresh breath of God would pour out in your life. I surrender, Lord.
And drench my soul as mercy and grace
unfold.
I hunger and thirst.
I hunger and thirst.
I hunger and
don't sit back and give a second thought. If you're willing and if you're available, just come forward. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about the other people. It's about you and God. If you want to be that someone, Jesus is calling out. He's calling you. The Spirit of God is calling you out.
I surrender. I surrender.
Oh, I want to know. Let that be your prayer, church, today. It's not about the facts. It's about knowing Christ.
I surrender. I surrender.
Oh, 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 oh.
I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
This morning, I sense there is a fog. It might be fog of your laziness. It might be a fog of maybe I'm interested, Betson, but I'm still thinking about the other factors. But Jesus wants to remove the fog. He wants to wipe away the windshield that is foggy, where you cannot see the picture of God's heart in your life. Katarabashi. And I'm saying today, the Spirit of God is rushing like a wind all over this place. He's a God who can make you from ordinary to extraordinary, because you and I carry the living life inside of us, and we carry the Holy Spirit, which the world doesn't carry. Like a rushing wind.
Rushing wind. Jesus breathed.
Come on.
Wind.
Oh Lord.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way in me.
Like a mighty storm.
Like a mighty storm. Stir within my soul.
Oh, come
Lord,
on, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
In me.
Oh, like a rushing wind. Come on, worship Him, elevate Him.
Like